Hopefully everybody's there. I'm just kind of rambling here. Unusual for me, isn't it? Well, we've been preparing and we've been preparing and we've been preparing to watch the children of Israel leave. They're going to finally leave from Mount Sinai. Well, wait, there's some other things that have to get done first. So here we go. Numbers chapter 9, starting in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the first month of the second year, after they came out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month, at evening, even, you shall keep it in his appointed season. According to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, shall you keep it. Now, you remember earlier on, you remember studying through the book of Exodus, we learned about the Passover and how it works and how they were supposed to get it done. I'm sure you remember all that. And so now God is saying, okay, you've been gone now and you've been here a while. As a matter of fact, it's been about a year there at Mount Sinai. And so now it's time to celebrate the Passover. It's been a year and it's time for the Passover to come back around. So he says, don't forget now you're going to celebrate the Passover. This will be their first one outside of Egypt in the wilderness. So verse 4 says, and Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even, in evening, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. Verse 6 says, and there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, in verse 7, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. It's time. It's been a year since they had their Passover there in Egypt. Remember, the first Passover was right in the land of Goshen, right there in Egypt. And you remember they had to put the blood on the doorposts. Remember, and they had to stay hidden under, behind the blood. They couldn't come out. You remain behind the blood. And that's where, remember, the Passover lamb was sacrificed and the blood was put out there. And as the Lord came through, the angel of death came through, he passed over the home that had the blood. And remember, we've talked about that, so I know you understand Passover, and so we don't need to go over that again. But now we come up with something. It's a wilderness now. Time for the Passover feast. They're out in the wilderness, and finally they're going to do it. This is one of God's commands. You will, every year, celebrate the Passover. So the Lord says, I'm just going to paraphrase, go for it. Passover time. This is what I told you to do. I explained it all to you, so now it's time. Here we go. We need to do it. Celebrate the Passover feast as you have been commanded. Now, in verse 6, you saw, a problem arises. I'm glad because it helps me to learn more about God. It helps me to understand things. And so it's good that this is here. And I am almost certain that's why Moses recorded, or God had Moses record it down, so that it would help us to get a grasp of something. Watch this. A problem arises. There are some men who have been defiled by a dead body. Probably that means someone had died and these guys were the burial detail. It was their responsibility to take care of the dead. It just so happens that they're now unclean and it's the day of the Passover and they can't celebrate the Passover. Or at least they don't know what to do or how to deal with it. This is something brand new. We're unclean. They came to Moses and said, we're unclean. What do we do about celebrating the Passover? I like it because so far we haven't been given this direction. So we're going to learn something we haven't heard before. Even though it's in the law, even though this is how you are to celebrate it, here's something that came up that wasn't covered. Now think about your Christian walk. Ready? Go. Have you ever come upon a situation that you haven't dealt with before in your Christian walk? Do this when you mean yes, in this way. Have you? I have. Haven't you? Here we are, we're Christians, and you come upon this and you think, I've never dealt with this before. I don't quite know how to do this. I'm not sure how to proceed with this. Ever happened to you? Wrong group. Well, other Christians it's happened to. Okay? So pretend like I'm talking to them. They come to Moses and they say, Moses, dude, I added the dude part. They said, we're unclean. We had a burial detail today. We had to take care of a guy, and so we're unclean, and we don't know how do we do this? Everybody is required to celebrate the Passover, and we don't know what to do. Hasn't been dealt with yet. The first time they'll ever celebrate the Passover outside of Egypt. First time they weren't able to celebrate the Passover because of uncleanness. So they come to Moses and to Aaron and they say, what should we do? Should we celebrate the Passover a little late? Or what do we do in a case like this, Moses? And it does. Come on, admit it. It does happen to us sometimes, doesn't it? To where something comes up and we can honestly say, I've never had to deal with this issue. I've heard about others or I've read this or that, but I've never had to, I don't know how to deal with this exactly. I don't know exactly what to do. Moses, you're in charge. What do we do? And every one of us should take special notice of what Moses did. Oh, if there's something we could learn, is to be more like Moses in chapter 9. There are some times when you see Moses, you don't want to be like him. But in chapter 9, oh, if only we were wise enough to be like Moses was here. We learn such a lesson. I think it's a model for the way you want to live every day. I want to live from this very moment on. Moses gives us the model. For those of us that are truly born again, if you know that you know that you know you belong to the Lord, take note of what Moses did. Moses said, wait here. King James says, stand still. In our language, that means, wait right here. I don't know. I'll go ask God. Now, does that sound like a smart thing to do? Do this when you mean yes. And doesn't that sound like a smart thing to do? Come on, come on, come on. Doesn't it sound like a smart thing to do? I'm going to wait until you all answer. I don't care. I got all the time in the world. Then why don't we do that? If it sounds like such a smart thing to do, why don't we do that? Moses says, I'll ask the Lord and see what we should do in this situation. Moses didn't go online and Google it. You think I'm joking, don't you? Man, I don't know how to handle this marriage problem I got. We'll go online. There's some Christian stuff. We'll find somebody. Somebody's probably been through this before. Somebody probably has some kind of solution. Bookstore is closed. So I'll just go online. You think I'm joking, don't you? Don't we do that? Come on, let's admit it. We might as well just cough it up now, get it over with. It's a little embarrassing, I know. But yeah, that's what we do. We run and we try to find out. Well, I don't know what to do in a case like this. I've never dealt with this. I don't know exactly how to handle this myself. Moses didn't go online to find the latest blog on this issue. He didn't have 300 pastors email that he could email out or, you know, get on the internet and email, you know, ask the pastor, well, what do we do here? That Moses couldn't do that. He didn't go buy a book on how to deal with being unclean during the Passover celebration because the book wasn't written until a little later. He didn't talk it over with the wise men or the elders of the camps or the leaders of the tribes. What did he do? He didn't form a small group to discuss it and pray about it. Well, you know, today's the Passover, and we can't discuss it and get back to you next Thursday. These guys say, Moses, we're unclean, and we don't know what we're supposed to do. The Lord has commanded all of us to celebrate this. What do we do? Moses goes, wait here. I don't know. I'll go ask the Lord. That's what we ought to be doing. But instead, I'm afraid that we may be guilty of trying a lot of other avenues first. If all else fails, isn't that what the bumper sticker says? When all else fails, pray. And that seems to be, that's supposed to be a joke of a bumper sticker. But it seems to be something that Christians are beginning to live like that. Well, I don't know what to do. I'll go ask the pastor's wife. I don't know what to do. I can't get a hold of the pastor, so I'll call. Well, I've got a really good friend who loves the Lord. He doesn't go to church anywhere, and he kind of uses foul language, but he loves the Lord. He knows his Bible. I'll call him. What did Moses do? He immediately went to the Lord himself. No middleman. Isn't that cool? Do this. If it is, that's cool. It's wise. It's what Jesus said to do. When you pray, pray along these lines. Our Father, which art in heaven. A father is going to give you advice. Hear it loud and clear, Christian. Because we can go right straight to the Lord. Jesus says, ask in my name. Ask the Father in my name. We can go straight to the God of the universe. I mean, what a great idea Moses had. It, you know, what an epiphany. Lightning striking his brain, right? I mean, what a thing to have. Moses, we have never dealt with this, and we're not quite sure what we should do. And Moses says, neither have I. But I certainly know who to ask. And he goes straight to God, the one who came up with the Passover idea in the first place. Lord, there's some guys, they had a burial detail, they had to deal with a dead body. They're unclean. How do you want them to deal with it? Whatever you say, that's what we'll have them do. Before you go anywhere else, before you go, or I go, or we go, to the latest best-selling book, before you go to your little group of close friends, you know, who meets in the evenings or in the mornings or in the noon, wherever, however, that there's, you know, it's not a sin. God bless you. I don't have any friends. I don't have that problem. But you probably have friends, and so you meet with them. But before you go and hang out with them and meet with them, you had better go to God first. Because he's the one that came up with this whole idea. He's the one that has the plan. And it would be really wise to go and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this. I've never had to do this or deal with it before in my life. And I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do, Lord? How do you want this handled? In verse 9, and I know could have knocked you over with a feather, but look, God answers. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 9, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Not just to these guys. Tell everybody, let everybody know, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity, in other words, your children, your children's children, from now on, shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be on a journey, traveling far off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th day of the second month at evening, even, they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it to the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep. They shall keep it. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he has brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, the man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you, and will keep the Passover unto the Lord, underline the word will. In other words, it's a choice that he makes, and he will keep the Passover to the Lord, according to the ordinances of the Passover, and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. You shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land. So God says, oh, well, Mo, thanks for asking me. Let me give you some details on how to handle it with the guys that are unclean. And let me throw in a couple other details, because you're going to run into this too. I just wanted you to check with me first. Thanks for coming to see me. Now write this down. God says, for anyone that is unclean at the time of Passover, or anyone who happens to be on a far journey, a journey far away, they're not there. They're not available to be with their family. They are to celebrate the Passover exactly 1 month later to the day. The 14th day of the second month instead of the 14th day of the first month. 1 full month's notice. You know, this was Passover. You're unclean. All right, you got a month. Get it all together. Go through the ceremonial cleansing. Go through the things you got to do. And on the 14th of the second month, then you're going to celebrate the Passover exactly as you know to celebrate it. Precisely as I've told you to. Now, if a person completely refuses to participate in the Passover celebration. You know, I'm getting sick of this Passover. It doesn't mean that much to me. It's kind of boring. You know, I just don't want to. Thank you very much, but keep it for yourself. That person is to be excommunicated from Israel. If you don't want to be covered by the blood of the Lamb, if you don't want to be hidden by the Lord and passed over, what you're celebrating was the protection hiding under the blood. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But you can't have any part of me, God says. You're excommunicated from the children of Israel. Remember when Jesus wanted to wash the disciples' feet and Peter said, no, thank you. What did Jesus say? You know, get down here, I'm washing your feet. No, what did he say? If I don't, in other words, this is your choice. But if I don't, you have no part with me. What did Peter say? Then give me a bath. My hands and my head too. Well, you're clean, Peter. It's just that your feet are dirty. But you notice it was a choice Peter had to make. What did Jesus just say? Or God just say? If the person completely refuses to participate, that's their choice. But they are to be put out of the family of Israel. And the bottom of that verse says, and they would bear the consequences of their own sin. You see, if you don't want to hide behind the blood, you will bear the consequences of your own sin. If you will not be washed in the blood of the Lamb, you will bear the consequences of your own sin. We all understand that. We've seen that before. God even says that. And you know, here's a situation. What if there are strangers, sojourners, travelers, aliens, not extraterrestrial, but you know, just use the word strangers. Some religions get into these alien things. So anyway, if they're among you and they want to take part, then the Lord God says they're more than welcome. I'd love to have them. If they will take part, in other words, it's a choice. You know, you're not of the family of Israel. But if you'd like to take part, the Lord said, you're welcome to. What you really got to do, the stipulations are that you have to be, well, the stipulations are drawn out for you if you'd like to read them in Exodus chapter 12, starting with circumcision. And you can remember all those. So if the foreigner says, I want to be a part, you know, I want to become a part of what you are. God says, you're more than welcome. It's your choice. And then so you'll hear in the New Testament, Jesus will say those kinds of things. Whosoever will, let him or her. He'll say this, anyone who comes to me, that's a choice of the will, I would in no way send them away. Notice here, we're dealing with, just like the stranger, you have a choice. Now, not every one of us, some of you aren't, but most of us are what you would have called Gentiles. We're not of Jewish origin. We can't trace our roots back to Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob. You know, we're kind of like mixed breeds. You know, you talk to some and they'll say, I'm half Indian, half Italian, and half German. How you do that, I don't know, but you know how that goes. We're American. And so basically, we're one of those where Jesus would say, you're not a part of the family of God now, but you're more than welcome. Whosoever will. Anyone who comes, who chooses to. It's the same thing with surrendering all of my heart and life. Whosoever will come after me, let that person first deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. You're welcome to come. Jesus, on the last day of the feast, when he poured out the water, he just said this to everyone. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You come, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of soul. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You don't have to, though, if you don't want to. But if you want to, come on and freely drink of the waters. And of course, you'll hear the Lord cry out, freely, eat and drink. Come and take part freely. You're welcome. So God covers what happens if you're unclean. He covers what if you're a stranger and you're not a part of it to begin with. He says, you're welcome. He also covers what if others don't want to have the Passover lamb and to see the sacrifice and the blood spilt. And when I don't want any part of that, then you're welcome to that too. But you will have to bear your own sins. You see, if Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, if you don't accept him as your Lord and your Savior, I think we all know this. We will bear our own sin. I don't want to do that. I don't want to answer for mine because I've been trying to come up with excuses and there aren't any. I want my sins gone. And so Jesus says, it's a free gift. Come to me. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you got to do it with a sincere heart. Well, let's keep on going here. Verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at evening, or the King James says even, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. And again, if you're a Bible underliner, you don't have to, but what a great thing to have underlined there. So it was always. It was this way the entire 40 years. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. And the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, or at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. That means they camped out. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, and the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, verse 21, when the cloud abode for even unto the morning, or from evening to the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not.
But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now, that may sound kind of repetitious, but I think hopefully it was easy for you to understand. There's the cloud by day and the pillar of what was like fire by night, right above the tabernacle. In our language, let's just say it this way. The visible presence of the Lord at all times, day and night. Night and day, the visible presence of the Lord at all times. You're going to find out later on in the New Testament, the Lord, once you belong to Jesus Christ by grace through faith, he's going to say this, I will never leave you and never forsake you, never. The presence of the Lord, day and night, all the time, always. And you notice, I mentioned underlining, it was always this way. They could count on that. Even when they were in trouble, they could look over and there was the cloud during the day. There it was. And if the cloud lifted up, they're going to leave now. If the cloud settled down, they're going to stay. Didn't matter whether they traveled by day or by night. Because they traveled by night, you got the fire, the pillar of fire. And if the pillar of fire lifted up, you thought, whoa, I thought we were going to camp out. But it looks like we're headed somewhere else. And you're going to go. Doesn't matter what time it is. Doesn't matter what day it is. When the cloud lifted up, it was time to go. When the cloud rested, the children of Israel stayed right where they were. Notice that it's written here for us, didn't matter whether they stayed overnight, 2 days, 1 month, a year or two. Wasn't up to them. It was up to who? The Lord. How long are you going to be doing what you're doing right now? Some of you are going to school. You say, the next 20 years. How long are you going to be doing what you're doing right now? You know the answer already, don't you? I'm going to just watch the Lord. Keep my eyes on the Lord. He'll tell me when it's time to move on from what I'm doing right now. What if you stay here just overnight? What if it's just a short stay where God's called you to? What if it is? Not a problem, is it? Just watch the Lord. Keep your eye on the Lord. You know, I like it. The Lord himself was leading them. The Lord himself was caring for them. Just as a shepherd would care for his sheep. Listen closely. The children of Israel, what was their responsibility in this whole thing? Just keep your eyes on God. We leaving tomorrow? I don't know. We'll find that out when we get to tomorrow. Well, how long do you think we're going to be here? Don't know. Lord will show us. Well, what if he's late? He's never been late before. I don't think he'll be late. He'll show us. Well, you know, he better get us packed up out of here because we've heard the news that the enemy's coming. You know, and if the enemy's on his way, you know, he might want to wise up and clear us out of here. You know, it wouldn't be wise for us to run if we heard the enemy was coming. If the Lord didn't tell us to move, would it? No, because you're going to go without him. Are you sure you want to go without him anywhere? Are you sure you want to step on out there into this place, the unknown, the unseen? Are you sure you want to head on out there, places where you've never been before, without God leading the way? I'm telling you right now, I don't think you want to. But you see, it's no problem. The unknown is no problem when I can honestly say, it's God. We'll just follow God. Where are you going? I don't quite know. Promised land. I mean, those of us that are Christians, if you ask us where we're going, what would be our answer? We're going home. How do you get there? Through Jesus. Well, what path are you going to take? I don't know, to tell you the truth. Well, when will you go? I don't know, to tell you the honest truth. You think you'll go tomorrow? Don't know. Could be. I don't know. Now, when a doctor tells you you've got 2 weeks to live, you know, I would always shake his hand and thank him. Because right now, I don't know how long I've got. At least now he's giving me a time limit. All right, 2? Cool. I wasn't sure I'd make it through tomorrow. Of course, the trouble is we know that doctor doesn't know either. That's why they call it practicing medicine. I'm seeing people who are suffering quite a bit. They belong to the Lord. and they're suffering quite a bit. And the doctors are telling them things like this. Well, let's try this. What will it do? We don't know.
Okay, give me three. I'll take them. What do you mean you don't know? When I say I don't know, I'm meaning I don't know. Now, you're the doctor. What do you mean you don't know? Exactly that. Well, just going to try it. You're dying. What could it hurt? Good point. I always feel better that way, don't you? And you watch these people. They're suffering. They're hurting. Doctors don't know. I just know who does. So are we going to pack up and leave tomorrow? When is the rapture? We won't miss it. But you know what we ought to be doing? Just like the children of Israel, where are your eyes? In every day of this life, are you looking to the Lord? You see, these are simple lessons. I don't think he wants you to pack up, go live in a tent out in the desert. Although if he tells you to, groovy. I mean, you know, that's fine. I like the desert. But you get the point, don't you? We serve him right here. We serve him right now. But we keep our eyes on the Lord. We look to him always. Well, what am I going to do for the next month? I mean, what will happen to me if insurance stops? Trust me. Just trust me. The children of Israel, their responsibility was just to keep their eyes on him. He'll provide food. He makes sure their shoes don't wear out. Their clothes are going to last 40 years. That's amazing. I think the same is true with us. All we really have to do is keep our eyes on the Lord. Jesus in Hebrews 13 said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be right there. So make sure you truly belong to him. We all do that. Just make sure we're truly his. Because he's all going to be right there. Doesn't matter what the weather does. We joke about it. We whine about it. I mean, it does what it wants. You know, and in Idaho, it just does what it wants. And so Gene and I, we've taken to, you could watch the local news, and you can watch the Weather Channel. And I've sort of taken to pick the one I like the best. If you watch both of them, today I like the Weather Channel the better because they said it's going to be 70 instead of 63. You know. But then the local news, you know, the other day said that it's going to be bright and sunny the rest of this week. But the Weather Channel said chances of rain like Wednesday and Thursday. So I thought, okay, we like the local news better on this one. So people say, what's the weather going to do? I think it's going to be really be warm and not rain. Because it doesn't matter. Because they're the only people I know who get paid no matter what happens. We call them the weather guesser. The weather guesser says, tomorrow the sun might come out, might not depend upon the weather. Yeah. Yeah. How about chapter 10? And then we'll finish up. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes which are the heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, verse 6, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for the journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. So, okay, we learn a few things here. If you're going, what? Two silver trumpets. By the way, two, if you're wondering, is there some kind of secret to it? No, two is the number used for witnesses. As you recall in the law, where two or three, if there are two or in the mouth of two or three, a thing is established. Jesus will tell you where two or three are gathered together. So the number two be the number of witnesses. That's the minimum number you can have. So now you got these two trumpets that you would make. And I like what they're used for. They're used to gather the people together and to announce the time to march. Well, with 2.5 million people, you could have kind of a fiasco going on. Have you ever been in a long parade? We marched in the Rose Bowl parade a few years back.
And that's an 8 mile parade for if you're going to march in it. I think it's only 5.5 if of actual parade route, but you got to march a few miles to get there and line up. And boy, that can really be a mess once you get to the parade area, making sure what number you are and making sure you fall in line at the right time and making sure that you're not the one right behind all those horses. You can imagine a fiasco of trying to get 2.5 million people in line ready to march. Well, trumpets, they're going to blast. When both trumpets are blown, all the people would gather at the tabernacle entrance. When only one trumpet was blown, just the elders or the clan leaders, is what we were talking about, they would gather. So far, easy to understand, isn't it? But I like it. When the trumpet blows, that's for the gathering together. Now, the Bible tells us at the rapture that the Lord will give out a yell and it will sound like a trumpet blast. And when that, we hear that the trump of the Lord or the voice of the Lord calling, it will gather us together. And Paul tells us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. So the denominations, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet with the Lord in the air. And that's the voice of the Lord or the trumpet. And that's to gather the people together. And the next time the trumpets blow is to get them to, that's the forward march. So look at verse 8. And the sons of Aaron and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Don't you think, now I know we've been studying this now, this is all the way to chapter 10. Don't you think the priests have the best jobs going? I mean, come on, don't you? They get to serve the Lord 24/7 in the prime of their life. They get to serve God. They get to take care of the tabernacle. They get to carry it around. The priests get to carry the Ark of the Covenant with the law in it and the mercy seat on top. The presence of God going before them right there, the Ark of the Covenant. And the priests get to carry that. And the priests get to play the music. Well, they're blowing the trumpets anyway. They shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that depresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. And in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before the Lord. I am the Lord your God. Now the trumpets have been made. You're going to hear the trumpets blow. Two trumpets at a time to gather all the people to the tabernacle area. One trumpet to gather the leaders only. Trumpets are blown together. Trumpets are blown to forward march. Because you're dealing with a huge amount of people. And the responsibility to blow those trumpets is the priest. And who are the priests? Today in our world, now we're out from under the law, saved by grace through faith. Who are the priests? That's us, you and me. He has made us, the Bible says, a kingdom of priests. And we serve the Lord, our high priest. We serve the Lord 24/7. No matter where we are, no matter what we do, our calling is to serve the Lord and to bring Him honor and glory. And who is called to preach the gospel, to blow that trumpet, to make the noise? You are. I am. We are. All Christians are going to make sure the gospel is heard. And the gospel is seen where you work, where you go to school, where you travel, wherever you happen to be, under whatever circumstances, no matter what you do, whether you eat or drink, Paul will write to the Corinthians, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We're going to preach the gospel with our lives and with our words every time the Lord gives us a chance. We're going to blow those trumpets, aren't we? Yes, we are. That's our responsibility. The priest would blow the trumpets also, not just for gathering, not just for forward march, but notice, for holy days and for special occasions,
for the major feasts, in other words, the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles or Booths, the new moons. What does that mean? Beginning of every month. Got to make some noise on those trumpets, you know, trumpeting in the new moon, the new month. Responsibility of who? The priests. What's our job? What's your job, Christian? Serve the Lord and love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And to speak the word. To go out into the highways, into the byways, and invite everyone. Isn't that what God said to do? Jesus says, what you hear in secret. In other words, you've been reading your Bible quietly today in your quiet time. What you hear in secret, what does he say? Broadcast it from the rooftops. Shout it out from the rooftops. Tell the world that it's okay. Because the world says right now there's no help. There's no hope. We're headed into global warming. If we don't go into that, we're going to go into global freezing. If we don't do that, we're going to go into global nuclear. And I don't think that's going to bring ice. Although, after all that fire, it'll be the nuclear ice age. You know, I mean, who's going to win this one? And what is our responsibility? Not to live in Christian Disneyland, not to live somewhere out in the Twilight Zone, but to tell them there's hope. God is alive. He is real. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Lamb of God who was slain, takes away the sin of the world. He loves you and he gave his life for you. And if you would like to have eternal life, just recognize that you need a Savior. In other words, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And freely you can have eternal life by grace through faith. And for eternity you will live as a child of the Father. It's good news. We're called to broadcast, to trumpet abroad, to tell the world good news. There is hope. Because the world thinks that there's no hope. So the priest is going to blow those trumpets for the feasts, for the new moons, for the gathering, for the forward marching. Look at verse 11. And it came to pass, on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, and we can all breathe a sigh of relief, finally they're going to travel. It's actually going to, you know, they've been at Mount Sinai, the Mount of the Lord, for a little over a year now. Just camping out for a little over a year. Came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony, and the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. And the first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Or they first took their journey. It's time. Finally. You got your instructions. You've got the law. Finally now. We can get going. Time to begin the journey. They've been there at Mount Sinai just about a year. Just a hair over a year. And finally, here we go. The cloud lifts up. Everybody do your job. The priests now get with it. We're going to pack up. We got to get going. Everybody's doing their tent, but what are the priests doing? They're getting every bit of the tabernacle equipment. Remember the wooden parts and the cloth parts and the metal parts and the holy pieces. Remember all that stuff. And everybody's got their assignment. Remember they got the ox carts that were given and the oxen, the covered wagons. Man, they're getting it together because we're going to finally head out to the desert. What an exciting day. We're going to the promised land. Now, they don't know how long it's going to take them. It should have only taken a few weeks. And they're excited, man, we're going to go. We've been here a year, and it's only a few weeks to this promised land, we hope. We're not quite sure where it is, but we're going to get there soon, and it's flowing with milk and honey. God's going to protect us, and he's going to defend us. He's going to take us there. We're going to go to the promised land. Can you imagine how excited you would have been the day you packed up and said, man, here we go? If you can't imagine it, then you got to think back to the day you accepted Jesus. Can't you remember that day? Do you remember how exciting that was? To say, I'm born again.
I don't exactly know what all that means, but man, I am born again. And you didn't care who you told. You carried a, you know, that 40-pound Schofield reference, remember? And you just were carrying that Bible around and people, what is wrong with you? I'm headed for heaven, dude. You want to go along? Because there's always room for one more. Come on with us. The destination, we're told, although we know we're going to the promised land, the destination in this particular case, now the children of Israel don't know this, is the desert of Paran. The desert of Paran. They're going to travel for about 3 days. I've read ahead. Going to travel for about 3 days. Then they're going to camp. And they're going to camp in the middle of absolute nothing. No water. Barren wasteland. Now, I like that. But I understand most of you don't like the desert. You have a problem with that. And I'm going to tell you what. You're not alone, because the children of Israel didn't really like it either. There are just a few rare birds still left. The rest of them hate it. Because how you live out there? How are you going to live where there's no water? How are you going to eat where there's nothing to eat? What are you going to do? That'd be kind of dumb. I thought God was taking us to the promised land. We're already complaining. We haven't even got to that part yet. But do you remember how excited you were the day you said, man, I'm going to heaven. I am going to heaven. I'm born again. I'm a Christian now. I no longer have to answer for my own sin. Explain that to me. I can't. I don't know much, man. But I know God loves me. And he sent his son to die for me. And I'm totally saved. Where are you headed? I'm headed for heaven, man. I'm going home. Little did we know, 3 days later, we'd be in the middle of a barren wasteland going, dude, this ain't heaven. What is this? Lord, what's wrong with you? Because we pray King James when we really get nervous. God always says, not me, it's you, right? Dry and hot, a barren wasteland. And by the way, dangerous. If you'd like to look at a map, it's the north central part of the Sinai Peninsula. Now, they're going to make a few stops on the way to this barren wasteland. They're going to stop in 3 days. They're not going to be at the desert, the whole desert yet. You're going to see. Think about that. God says, you love me? Yes, sir. I'll give you eternal life freely. Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Take my heart. Okay, I'm there. All right, Lord, where are we going? We're going home. I'm bringing you home with me, and you'll be with me forever. Okay, I'm ready. And then down the road, you find yourself in some kind of pit, and you think, he left me. He forgot. How did I get here from there? What are you supposed to do? Be calm. And where should you be looking? Looking to the Lord. Because what did he say? I will never leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. It's all right. Lord, there's no water here. It's okay. I offer free complimentary glasses of living water. You'll be fine. No, I won't. How many times have you said that lately to him? I can't handle this. I'm afraid. Be calm. And look over and see if the cloud is lifted. If it's lifted, just get ready to move. If it hasn't, take it easy. You know, go back and read your Bible. Put your feet up. You're stressed. God's not going to forget to do what he said he was going to do. He never has. He never will. You need to unlax. Isn't that what they say? Look at verse 14. In the first place, they're going to tell us the order again. You've heard it before, but let's do it anyway. In the first place, when the standard of the camp of the children of Judah, according to their armies, and over his host was Nashon, son of Amminadab, and over the host of the tribe of the children of Issachar was Nethaneel, son of Zuar, and over the host of the tribe of the children of Zebulun, Eliab, the son of Helon, and the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon, and the sons of Merari set forth, bearing the tabernacle. Not the ark now, the tabernacle, right? Okay, don't get those confused. And the standard of the camp of Reuben set forward according to their armies. And over his host was Eliezer, the son of Sedeur. And over the host of the tribe of children of Simeon was Shelumiel. Did I get that right? Woo! Son of Zurishaddai. God bless me. The host of the tribe of the children of Gad was Eliasaph, son of Juel. And the Kohathites set forward, bearing the sanctuary, and the other did set up the tabernacle against they came. And the standard of the camp of the children of Ephraim set forward according to their armies. Over his host was Elishama, the son of Amihud. Do you understand what's going on? It may seem boring to you, but do you understand what's going on? They're giving you the order of how they're packing up and lining up. We've already gotten it, but God's giving it to us again. Remember, God's really into detail. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Manasseh was Gamaliel, and the son of Pedazur. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Benjamin was Abidan, the son of Gideoni. And the standard of the camp of the children of Dan set forward, which was the rear reward back of all the camps throughout their hosts. And over his host was Ahiezer, son of Amidshaddai. You know, that's why we name our kids Bill, Fred, Frank. You know, it's just easy. I don't know. Over the host of the tribe of the children of Asher, Pagiel, son of Akron. Over the host of the tribe of the children of Naphtali were Ahira, son of Enan. Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. And Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are journeying to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you." That's what the Lord said. "Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel." And he said to him, "I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land, to mine kindred." Moses said this. He said, "Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee." So we're given the details, the marching orders. We've already been given the details, but he reiterates it for us here in the order. And so if you wonder, why go into detail all over again? Okay, God, thank you. God bless you. You did that for us. Why again? Well, because the Lord wants to remind us that his ways are different than ours. And his ways are the ways that we should follow. You know, I'll confess to you, done things after I read his word. I have thought, you know, I'm afraid that will hurt somebody's feelings, or I'm afraid it will do more harm than good. And I have gone against his word. I know that you probably never have done that. But I have, and I want you to know, I have paid for it dearly. It's a mistake every time. Don't I know better? I kick me so often. You know, clear instance. God says, do this. You think, I don't know, that might embarrass people big time. I better not. And I should have. And it always cost me. Ever happened to you? And so, you know, why don't we learn it? Just try and learn it together. We're reminded that the Lord's ways are the ways that are good. They're the ways that we should handle. We should do things. Not our own. Our own, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. You know, it seems like this is a good business plan. It seems like this is a great way to handle each other. This seems like a way to maturely deal with it. But instead, we should do it God's way. And God is telling them here, here's how I want you to do it. Do it this way. Is it important to God? You're going to love me for it. Do it this way. I don't know. I'd like to put Reuben in front of Judah because Reuben is the oldest. And what if his feelings are hurt? Just put Judah here. Do it this way. When war comes, you're going to be glad Judah was there and not Reuben. And Reuben's going to be glad Judah was there. He may have his feelings hurt today, but trust me, he'll come around. God's got his purposes. You can trust him. Now here, I'm not sure if Moses makes a mistake or not. Some say he does. I'm not so sure he did. Because he's got a relative here, Hobab, a relative of his father-in-law. And he says, I need you to stick with us. Well, if you got God and he knows the way, why do you need Hobab? True? Moses might just be a little shaky. I don't know. Or maybe this is wisdom. You got a guy who knows this desert. Remember, Moses' father-in-law's sheep are way out in the desert. Moses spent 40 years in the backside of the desert. This guy's been going longer than that. He knows the routes. He knows the different routes through the desert area. He knows how to get around here. So is it wisdom or is it a little bit of a lack of faith? I'm not sure. Sounds pretty smart to me. God doesn't check him for it or call him on it. But basically, he's saying this, stick with us. And Hobab says, "You know what? I've been with you a while now, Mo. I love you, man. But nothing personal. I'll go home. I need to go home." And Moses says, no, come on, man. You know this like the back of your hand. You know these areas. These areas are all, I've never been out here. You know it. You know the roots. Stick with us. And however God blesses us, you'll be part of the blessing. See, Hobab was familiar with the trails out in this area. Now, when you get a little further, he's not familiar with it, but in this area, he's going to really come in handy. So look at verse 33. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. They didn't go all the way to the desert of Paran, but 3 days over toward it. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them. What was in the front? The ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, Moses said this, Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Here we see it again. Don't ever forget this. Where's most of the tabernacle parts and pieces? Where are they? In the center. Remember? 6 tribes. The tabernacle parts and pieces and the priests. And then 6 tribes. Right? God's to be the center of everything we do. But where is the presence of the Lord? And where's the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat being carried by the priest? Where's that? Out front. Leading the way, mercy, the Lord God Almighty leading. As you read through your Bibles, you're going to learn that God says, I will go before you and I will go behind you and I will walk with you and I will prepare the way for you. In other words, God is before us. He is behind us. He is all around us. He is with us. Make sure you and I as the priests are carrying the mercy, first thing. The mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. That's what we're taking to people. The presence of the living God, mercy. God leads the way. God goes out before every one of us. And you'll find in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, if you'll trust the Lord with all your heart, lead not in your own understanding, and acknowledge Him in all your ways, He shall direct your paths, make those paths smooth. He will go before you and make a way for this to work and make a way for you to get through it, even though it's difficult. And so the psalmist will write, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Remember, I will not be afraid. Why? Because the Lord is with me and the Lord goes before me. Make sure you keep it that way. Make sure you don't leave the mercy and the ark back behind you and head out on your own and start Googling stuff you don't want to find out. And I would suggest as well, don't go if the Lord doesn't go. Don't go. Just don't go there. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Wait on God. What if he makes you stay here 3 days? Wait on God. What if it's a whole month? Wait on God. Don't go if God doesn't go. Take your time. Just wait on the Lord. First, look at the journey. We're told lasted 3 days. And according to this, they only traveled during the daylight hours for the first three days of the journey. They will travel some nights, but for the first 3 days, they traveled daylight hours only. And Moses started them out in the morning with it's a battle cry and it's a prayer. Every time the cloud lifted up to move, Moses prayed, cried out to prepare them for what would lie ahead. Listen to what he says. Rise up, Lord. This is a prayer. This is not to the children of Israel. Rise up, Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. He understands that trouble's coming. And so in the morning, he prays for Israel. Lord, rise up, go before us. Scatter the enemy, chase them away. In the morning, they would pray when they're ready to leave. And notice, when it's time to camp, Moses prayed again. What did he pray? When it was time to, when they rested, verse 36, he prayed this, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. We've set up the tabernacle, Lord. We're set up. We're ready to go to Betty Bye. Lord, it's our prayer that you return and you're here to defend. Notice, everybody, I'll say it again. He prays first thing in the morning for God to take it. And then he prays when the day is done. Now, God promised he would be there. Why does he pray it? I have to have people ask me, because Jesus promised where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there. And so I pray sometimes where two or three are gathered, you promise your presence. We invite you to be here. And so people say, why do you do that? He's already promised you to be here. Why are you doing that? Because I'm claiming his promise and I want to invite him out loud personally. Be here. You said you would be here. I believe you will be here. We ask you to be here. What's Moses saying? You said you would protect us. You said you would defend us. And we call upon you to stay here now through the night and defend us. Is it a lack of faith? Not at all. It's just taking him at his word and inviting him to keep it. When we do weddings, we invite the Lord to come to the wedding. Why? What a waste of time. He says we're two or three together. Doesn't matter to me. We still invite him to come to the wedding. He got invited to the wedding at Cana and he showed up. I know. Even when you eat dessert. I'd ask him to bless it. He already said he would bless it. I'd still ask him to bless it, wouldn't you? Doesn't take much time. Lord, kill the germs and the calories and bless this. Amen. It's not a lack of faith at all. Moses isn't afraid. He just prays when it's time to get up and move. Lord, go out there. Rise up. He already did. I know, but I'm asking him to rise up and to go forward and to defend and protect and do the things that you promised. We trust you. We're counting on you. And at night, we're going to settle back down. What does he say? Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. Keep an eye on us, Lord, through the night. And then what will he do? He'll still set guards, won't he? Well, sure. Is that a lack of faith? No, no, no. God's in control. Those that keep the city stay awake in vain if the Lord doesn't keep the city. Did you know that? They that build the house labor in vain if the Lord doesn't build it. Did you know that? Sure. So we call upon God, we trust in God, we keep him the center of all that we're doing, and we make sure that we know that he's the one to go forth. And that's what we take with us, the mercy and the love, the good news to the rest of the world. Wherever you go tomorrow, wherever you go tonight, you're the priests. You're going to carry that mercy to the rest of the world. Father, we are grateful for your word. Grateful for the simple reminders, these simple things. Grateful to see Moses wise enough to say, I don't know how to deal with this, and go straight to you for it. Lord, there are times when we confess it to you, a lot of times in our lives, little things and big things, and we've never dealt with them before, and we're not sure how to handle them, Lord. And so give us the wisdom to, before we do anything else, before we panic or anything, just to come to you and ask our Father in heaven, what do you want us to do? Strengthen us, Lord. Grow us up. Help us to remember and to draw near to you and to trust. We keep our eyes on you. And when you get up and move, then it's time to move. And when you stay, then it's just time to stay. Help us to just look to you, Lord. That's our prayer. We pray it all together in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.